Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Exactly.
Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight.
Totally.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. Once again, introducing the big show, the big voice, John David Wells. Check him out at the Wells Report on Facebook. This is the What's Your Problem podcast, brought to you from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Perhaps you've seen us from the highway, heading up towards the Saturn Parkway from Columbia. We'll be on the right. We've got our sign on the building. Yes, it is hand-painted, if you can't tell. But, you know, we'll get there where we have a professionally done graphic type of sign. So, this is brought to you by BigDotLighting.com, BigDotElectrical.com. If you have electrical problems, we have the electrical solutions. And, of course, if you need an LED lighting retrofit or conversion, we can do that, too. Also, check out the Octave Lighting product, taking the car wash industry by storm. If you want to colorize and peacock your building, check it out, OctaveLighting.com. What's Your Problem is a podcast where we talk to Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals about their problems. If you think if you're going to come in here and tell me that you're not having any problems, I'm not going to believe you. I'm just going to be straight with you. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with Jim McCarthy Voiceovers.com. How many more .coms do we have? We got tons of .coms. It's almost like its own business. So today, we have a guest here from the Spring Hill area, moved up here from Florida, and he's one of these guys who, if you saw him like in Kroger, it would be unassuming, just kind of has a very friendly face, very approachable, but man, if you said the wrong thing to him, he would mess your world up big time, because he is Mr. Brian Peters with 360 Krav Maga. Let me turn you up here. Thank you for coming on the show today, brother.
Thank you.
And coming all the way in here from across town. First off, we're going to do something real quick. We call it the Random Five. We're going to get the juices flowing and start the conversation thereafter. This is a series of Random Five questions. And if you didn't think that we had any more .coms, we do.
Okay.
Check it out. It's brought to you by GSD Academy. They are a place, if you're a business owner and you need to get a hold of your life and really start scheduling it the right way and buying more time in your life, great course to take. It's provided by Angela Profit and her team. Go check her out. She was on the a couple of episodes ago and has just got a massive wealth of information when it comes to just taking control of the timing in your life. So GSD Academy, there is a link in the description. Check it out. Definitely would be beneficial for you to just get a hold of your life. So here we go. The Random Five. Brian, you ready?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. If the company you work for / the college you go to had an honest slogan, what would it be? Now, this would be interesting. I know you have an honest slogan for your company. What would it be?
You don't really need this.
Well, Krav Maga, I would say you need.
You do. Yeah. It's insurance. But, you know, when you look at statistically, you know, the chances of having to ever use it are very slim to none.
But it's nice to have.
But it's nice to have.
It's good at great exercise.
Exactly.
What's the best thing? This is question number two. What's the best thing you could tell someone to cheer them up when they are feeling down?
Well, from my background as a firefighter paramedic is it could always be worse.
That's very true. I always say to people, you know what? It's always something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always something.
Where are you not welcome anymore? Oh, that's a funny one. That's a good one. Where are you not welcome anymore?
My ex-wife's house.
There we go. We'll just leave it at that. These are truly random, guys. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
What is the best path to find truth? Science, math, art, philosophy, or something else?
Man, I would say science, but nowadays, science is we're pulling stuff out of their butts.
Well, not only that, what is truth?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even truth is being changed every day before our very eyes.
It is. I'm going to skip this one. This is a long question. And I think this is question number five. I hope it is, because I haven't been counting. I'm a radio guy. I'm not good at math. What are you most likely to become famous for? Good question.
Well, yeah. Man, hopefully, just for being a good person.
Leaving that legacy,
yeah,
right?
Leave that legacy. My kids, my students.
There you go. The Fast Five. The Fast Five. I keep on calling it the Fast Five. It's inspired by Marty Ray Project Chats. He was on our episode like months ago. But he's got an episode. He does something on a show called The Fast Five, and I keep on calling it The Fast Five. We stole it from him and relabeled it The Random Five. So there you go. The Random Five, brought to you by GSD Academy. Check them out. Link in the description. So with that being said, let's get on with things. So you mentioned you started out. How did the whole Krav Maga thing happen? The reason why I took the class, I want to say back in August or September, I always had an interest in doing some sort of a martial art training.
Right.
And honestly, I went to go to yours because you had great reviews. And dude, Krav Maga is just a badass name.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So Krav Maga itself is a Hebrew word, means contact combat. Mm-hmm. And I kind of fell into it by accident. So I've been doing martial arts since 1985.
Okay.
And I got involved in martial arts because I was bullied as a kid. And my plan was to learn how to fight so I could fight the bullies back. And, and what I found was that I just loved martial arts. And as a result of training, the bullies left me alone. And I never realized until later on that looking back, I'm like, man, I never got beat up again.
Right.
And I think I walked different, I talked different. And so I began to train different martial arts. And then my instructor, I came from Wisconsin, had heard about Krav Maga and became a Krav Maga instructor. Went out to LA to the main headquarters there for the US and brought it back to our school. And I was like, man, what's this? I never heard of this before. And when he started demonstrating some of the techniques, it was so simple. It was like, wait, that looked way too easy.
They're like common sense, practical, everyday moves.
Right. And, you know, doing Taekwondo and karate and different, you know, other Asian arts, it was all very sexy, very glamorous, very mystical.
Yeah.
And realistic, looking back, it's stuff that would never work.
Right.
And so we
hold on. I got to do a roundhouse kick. Give me some room here.
Right. And he started teaching us, you know, how to defend against somebody who swings a baseball bat at you, which we had never done before. somebody points a gun to you, like how to disarm the gun. And it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And so that was back in 1998 or 1999.
Right.
And then in 2007, I was living in Florida. I moved to Florida in 2003. And there was no Krav Maga by us. And so I had about 3 or 4 years of training Krav Maga with my instructor in Wisconsin. So I was just kind of doing different martial arts in Florida, jiu-jitsu and other karates. And I got an invitation for a seminar for Krav Maga where this guy named Eyal Yanilov came. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, man, that name sounds familiar. So I looked him up, and he's really the number one guy in the world for Krav Maga. He was one of the main students with the founder of Krav Maga, Imi.
Right.
And so went to the seminar, and the way that Eyal would kind of teach was when he would demonstrate a technique, he'd pick the biggest guy in the room to demonstrate on. Right. And I was that guy. And so I got to feel for about 3 hours his speed, his dynamic movement, his ability just to flow. And I was like, man, how do I become your student?
Right. And you got to feel like you actually...
Like, I was coming at him hard because when he...
But you're going to feel it the next couple of weeks because you're getting the crap kicked out of you.
Yeah, right? And so I said, you know, how do I become your student? And in a thick Hebrew accent, oh, easy, must come to Israel. And I'm like, well, that ain't going to happen. And but in 2010, he began to teach under his new organization, Krav Maga Global, the first instructor course in the U.S.
Right.
And so I was there in 2010.
See, here I am. I'm seeing, you know, it's got a deeper meaning, of course, in the name. I'm seeing that's just a badass name.
Yeah.
It's like when you know, you think of Taekwondo and karate, you're like, all right, you know, like you said, it's stylistic. It's very good for the health, and it's got cardio benefits. And then you get into like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds like I could do some damage with that. And then Krav Maga, I can totally annihilate somebody.
Right.
You know, it's like coming at him with a dump truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
It is. It is. And, you know, I think the top three martial arts as far for adults to really learn self-defense is Krav Maga, is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and is Muay Thai.
Right.
And Krav Maga has a bit of all those in the system.
Right.
You know, like we're not going to go against, you know, Professor Reggie over at Gracie Baja in Spring Hill and challenge him and win, you know, to a grappling match,
yeah.
you know. But I may be able to do something to where I can at least slip away and run.
Right.
And I'm really good at running.
Right. Well, I mean, but I think what you said, you hit on a very interesting topic right at the beginning, talking about the bullying.
Right.
Understanding and putting off that confidence of learning something new that could be detrimental to your opponent, to the bully.
Right.
Okay. I call that signaling.
Right.
Right. So all of a sudden, whatever little nuances about your body and physicality changed, it said to them, okay, now this guy is not as soft of a target as we right. thought he was.
Right.
So that's what instantly changed. You didn't have to put into practice. It was just the signals you were putting on.
Exactly. I walked different. I talked different. I was more right. confident. Ironically, and I was bullied from sixth grade until sophomore year.
Wow.
And, you know, the bullies would jack me because of the locker, punch me. They would humiliate me. And I couldn't figure out why. I was very quiet. I was very shy.
Right. Easy target.
I was a bit bigger. Yeah. I wasn't muscular, but I was, you know. And I, you know, in sixth grade, I developed faster than every kid. So I had hair on my chest in sixth grade. So that was a sign of, you know, being picked on. So I began training in my sophomore year in high school. And my junior, senior year, I had no problems. They left mm-hmm. me alone.
Right.
One of the main bullies who was my tormentor pretty much from sixth grade to ninth grade, sophomore year kind of left me alone. I had new bullies then. he came to my Taekwondo school that I was at. I was already a black belt at the time, around 1991, 92. And he went to sign up. And when he saw me in the class, I was like, oh, man, really? Like, I'm trying to get away from you. Like, really? Yeah. Like, you know, and even the last couple of years, I was torment free. I still flash back to all the years of being tormented by this guy. And he was a bigger guy. And he's like, you know, hey, Brian, I didn't realize that you did Taekwondo. I'm like, yeah, Kurt, you're kind of the reason why I started. And
had he any idea?
Yeah, he had no idea.
Really?
And so he ended up signing up.
Did he know it was because of him that you were doing it, though?
No.
So and, he didn't realize, did he even realize what he was doing to you?
No. And so the ironic thing was that he signed up. And at the particular school, when you got your yellow belt, you could spar. And yeah. I had an old Korean grandmaster. I never told him about our past. Never said, hey, this is the kid that tormented me. And so one day...
I'm like anticipating what's coming.
Yeah, so one day, Grandmaster Che, Youngjin Che, he just recently passed away. He lined all the black belts up on one side and started pairing other students across from black belts. He pairs Kurt across from me.
Nice.
And so I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so Kurt's like, you know, hey, Brian. And as we're lining the other students up, he goes, now... You know, man, we were just kids back then, right?
I mean, we're good. You know, now,
yeah,
right?
We're good, right? And he goes, man, I apologize for everything I did. And I was always kind of coming back because I think my face was expressing that I'm going to destroy you right now. And so I said, man, Kurt, I appreciate that apology, man. I really do. He goes, so we're good? I go, we're good. Yeah. He goes, you're not going to hurt me? I go, I didn't say that.
And so we're good though.
I think he threw a kick. And one of my special kicks back in the day was a spinning back kick.
Right.
And I bent him over with his back kick.
Right.
And after that, we became really good friends. And he was the best man at my wedding.
That's nuts.
He's a martial artist too. He's a Krav Maga instructor. He's part of our affiliate. And so he's a really good guy now. And yeah. I love the guy to death. So we went from bully. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, have that little hashtag, you know, just hash it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And now he's a good dude.
And it's funny because people just don't realize, you know, sometimes the impact negatively they may have on somebody else until they're called out on it.
Right.
You know, and that is so cool.
Yeah.
And you know?
So back then, I don't think that he really realized what he was doing.
Of course.
We're just kids. And what do kids know?
But in life, you're going to have your bullies. You're going to have your victims. It's just life. That's how things kind of play out. There was a girl in eighth grade. Who she was almost a bully herself. And this is where I found the nuance of honesty and being forthright and just, you know, just kind of hitting somebody between the eyes with the truth from where you stand.
Right.
And she was a beautiful girl, but always had a chip on her shoulder. She kind of cross-mingled with the preps and the metalheads and the druggies and stuff like that. But it was ninth grade, actually. And she said something sideways to me. And that day, they took the superlative votes for the yearbook. And she said something that would just completely out of left field, that was kind of cutting, and was one of those things where I just had that moment of realization of like, really, was that necessary?
Yeah.
You know, what is with this?
Right.
And I said something along the lines of like, well, you know, now you're going to make me regret voting for you for most beautiful person in school. And she was just like,
yeah,
really? And we were friends ever since.
Yeah.
It was that one little turning point where you just kind of say to somebody, you know what, dude, just stop being a douche.
Right.
It's not needed.
No.
You know?
So, yeah, but I mean, that changed my life, and really, you know, Kurt and a couple of other bullies, you know, that I had in high school, like, if it wasn't for them, you know, I had a choice.
Yeah.
You know, I could, you know, take it as a negative.
Yeah.
We had a friend that was also, he's a really nice kid in school, went to school with him since kindergarten, and he got picked on a lot, too, in eighth grade. He went to a different high school and continued to get picked on and ended up killing himself.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, there's always two aspects, and so... Right. I know at our school here at 360 Krav Maga, you know, we have several kids who are being bullied. And so coming from that background and knowing what they're going through, knowing that this is going to change your life for the better.
Your empathy must be off the charts.
Man, it's intense. I mean, so that's my ministry. That's our mission.
Right.
And, you know, and it's exciting to watch transformation in kids as far as knowing that they have an identity. And it doesn't matter if you look different, if you act different, you know. You start developing confidence, you know, through training, and they begin to thrive. And
it's kind of funny because a lot of that, those challenging moments, not only, I'm sure you had a lot of delicious moments,
right?
You were able to kind of turn the tables on some of these bullies.
Right.
But in a lot of instances in life in general, you have these moments where you're able to confront somebody, not violently or anything, but just basically sitting them down and saying, look, you know, for me, it was one of the noticeable instances was when I first got into the car business back in when I was 38 years old. I had one of these guys that was a manager there. And typically it was kind of like trial by fire when you got into it. It was just a rough and tumble type of experience because that's how they formed you and shaped you, almost like boot camp.
Right.
But I wasn't 22. I was 38. I have a family. I've got a mortgage. I've done life.
Right.
And this guy just completely just talked to me sideways. And I said, you know, I get what you're doing. Okay. And he explained to me what I needed to do for the task at that time, but in a very condescending manner, very talking, you know. And I basically got up and stood over him with my fists on his desk. And I said, I really appreciate you helping me out. But I got to tell you, if you continue down this road with talking to me like this, this isn't going to work.
Right.
So you're not going to talk to me like that. Do we have an understanding?
Yeah.
And he's like, he sat back in his chair. Yeah. And we were fine after that. And that happened a couple of times in that business.
And just develop that confidence
exactly.
to say those things.
No.
You know, people don't like confrontation. I'm not confrontational at all.
Right.
And so even with my background, I still don't, if I have to have a conversation with somebody about hygiene or about membership or whatever else, like I hate confrontation, you know, so I try and kind of skate around it until I can't.
Right.
And but
there's tactful ways to go about it.
Right.
You know, have conversations and say, look, you know, on a certain level, you're not exactly being cool in this way. And you're probably aware of that and everything. But I got to point out the fact that you're great at this. You're great at this. You're great at this. This man, if you just kind of fix this and tweak this here, you'd be unstoppable.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the way I've been going about it with people, you know, and myself included. But I mean, here you are. You're a very friendly looking, affable type of guy. You're very approachable, very outgoing. But dude, I've seen you in action. You would mess some people up if they, you know, push came to shove.
Yeah.
And they would have no idea what you're capable of by first glance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's how Eyal was. Eyal right now is, I think he's about 60 or 61.
Yeah.
He's about 150 pounds. He's very unassuming.
Yeah.
And you would, if you put him next to a bunch of murderers in, you know, from prison side by side, who's the most dangerous guy here?
Who am I going to bet against?
Yeah. And Eyal is that guy, but you would never guess it. But the minute he starts to move, it's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I remember in the 2010, we were in Vegas for the first instructor course under Krav Maga Global. And we had probably, there's about 50 people in this class. And I mean, you had to have a black belt and another system. You had to be a fighter. So we had a lot of MMA fighters, jiu-jitsu guys, MMA guys, taekwondo masters. I was all kinds of like crazy skilled people. And we all had to go around the room and introduce ourselves, how long we've been training martial arts, any Krav Maga background. And this one kid stands up, says his name, can't recall what his name was. And he says, as I look around the room, there's really nobody here who can really challenge me.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just here to try to see what I can get out of this class. And we all kind of look back like, did you really just, like, there are killers in this room. And so I remember on day two, Ayal was teaching a knife, someone's on top of you and they're stabbing you with a knife. And right. He picks this kid to come be the uke, the attacker. And the way we train, we teach is you do it full speed a couple times to get that wow factor.
Yeah.
Then you do it slow a couple times to kind of let people process what just happened.
Yeah.
And then you would talk through it. And so he did it fast a couple times, flips this kid over, pop, 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 and takes the knife away. He goes to do it slow. And when he does it slow, he's going very meticulous and this kid, decides he's going to try and stop it. Well, he's going slow.
Yeah.
And so Ayal just rolled with it. And now it's basically turned into a 5-minute grappling match.
Right.
And this kid's getting huffing and puffing. Da, da, da. And Ayal finally flips this kid over, punches him in the groin and goes, "Don't be a jerk," and stands up. And I was like, this dude is legit. Like, this guy is the real deal. And
it's like, so at that point,
it just kind of concealed.
Thank you. Yeah,
sealed in all of our, like, okay, we picked this right guy to train with.
That has got to be amazing. I mean, when you see that kind of thing and you're signaling to other people in a certain way, I mean, it really does tie into business.
Yeah.
You know, tactfully signaling to somebody else what your intentions are, how you're going to react. I mean, in business in general, as you started doing this in Spring Hill, have you found those tactics to be practical in just dealing with people in general?
Oh, yeah.
Having that confidence, you don't like, I don't think anybody likes confrontation. Well,
no.
Maybe my mother, she likes confrontation.
Yeah.
She thrives off of it. But, a lot of people don't.
Right.
I don't want confrontation.
Right.
You got to think through it. You got to figure out how to say, not say the right thing or wrong things and things of that nature. But how has it helped you in business, dealing with people, dealing with employees, business partners, things of that nature?
Yeah. I mean, the confidence to know that, number one, that... if it goes awry, I can win the situation physically. Right. that's always a plus, right? But just knowing that, when someone's in a fight, when we train and we're fighting and you get knocked down, unless you're knocked out, unless you're dead, you keep fighting.
Yeah.
And as far as like survival and self-defense. And so being in a fight, in training, being knocked down, hit hard, and knowing that, man, this guy just whacked me hard, but I'm still awake.
Yeah.
And then getting up and fight and continue the fight. So no matter if someone says no to our offer, like, this is what we charge, and they're like, oh, I just can't afford it.
Right.
I get it. No worries. Hopefully one day you can, but as I look at it more, I realize that it's not that people can't afford it. People can afford training. It's just what's your priority? What's important to you?
Right.
You know, is it that $5 Starbucks coffee every day? Because that's what we charge, $5 a day, pretty much, it comes out to.
Right.
And so do you want coffee every day, or do you want confidence, fitness, able to feel good about yourself and that. And so
what were some of the most notable changes you've seen in any of your students? Like, one, anybody come to mind? Tell me a story.
So one of our kids, he's almost 16 now. He came to me, I think he's been there with now for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And very shy kid, very quiet kid. Mom and dad told me that, they're not sure what his purpose in life is, because he's
16.
He's a little bit, has some processing disorders.
Right.
And so he struggles with school. I'm not sure, what he wants to do, and not sure, no interest really in anything. And they've seen him thrive.
Yeah.
And
confidence.
And he's helping to coach our kids now.
Wow.
I've hired him on to do some janitorial stuff, so he has a little bit of a paid job as well now. And so their thing is that, man, like, In fact, she just posted on Facebook yesterday that she came to pick him up and looked, was watching through the window. I was watching him spar, you know, bigger guys, and seeing him, you know, not afraid to engage with somebody. She never thought that was going to be possible.
Right.
And so just seeing that change in him is been for her and for her husband, like, just mind blowing.
I see it as identity. Because I mean, for the longest time when I was growing up, I wasn't really bullied.
Yeah.
But my brother at a very, very early age had an identity,
right,
and a purpose. I think, you know, once you have an identity, purpose follows.
Yep.
His was in playing the piano. And from a very early age, he was just, that was his thing.
Right.
He got into it. He learned it. He, you know, started to become somewhat of a snob about music and stuff like that, yeah, which is fine. It was his thing. For me, music didn't take hold until I was about 12 or 13 years old, but with the drums. I always knew I was a drummer. So I told my mom and dad, hey, I like the drums. I want to play the drums. Great. We'll get you a saxophone.
Yeah.
So that happened in fifth grade. That lasted maybe about 6 months and went by the wayside. But then I got into things like RC cars, building those things,
yeah,
a couple of other odds and ends. Those identities kind of attach themselves to you, but hey, let's face it. They're kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
You know, not exactly cool. They were, but they weren't, you know. Yeah. And then I got into like dirt bikes and off-road vehicles and things of that nature. But then I got into drumming. They finally said, okay, fine, we'll get you a drum set. That's when it just hockey sticked.
Yeah.
That was really, okay, this is a purpose. Right. This is what Jimmy was born to do. That was my identity throughout my teenage years. I was the guy in school that could play the drums, maybe two or three. And we always had like the one guy that could really play guitar, the one guy, literally one guy that could play the bass. And the rest of the school didn't really know what I was capable of until junior year, senior year, when we did the variety shows and stuff. So that's when your popularity for me really grew. And then it kind of expanded from there. My next iota of identity didn't happen because I tell the story all the time. College didn't really play out for me.
Right.
I ended up working in a blue-collar trade with my dad, doing phone system installation, cabling, and things of that nature. Similar to what we do here, oddly enough. But I always knew that radio was going to be a part of my life. But at the time, I'm like, well, radio, you don't make much money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go make money. Well, I went and did that. I was an electrician for a while. It was okay. I made money, good money. I hated getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
So I learned that lesson early on, right? Fine, I'll go into radio. I won't make money. Right. I did radio for 16 years, you know, and it was a big part of my identity.
Yeah.
Built tremendous, I know what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think for kids is so important.
Right.
You know, I know so many parents that push their kid, got to go to college. No, let them find out who they are, for crying out loud.
Right.
They got to find their own identity.
Yeah,
it's our jobs as parents and, you know, mentors and teachers. No, you got to find out who you are.
Right.
That's the important thing.
Right.
Before college even comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing with martial arts, you know, whether it's, you know, Krav Maga or, you know, Larry Kudman of our Family First Martial Arts in Spring Hill, Reggie and Crazy Bob. Three of us have like a little co-op. We always talk to each other. We share ideas.
That's cool.
And it's not this competition thing. Because,
right,
you know, competition is not other schools. It's other activities.
Right.
And a kid playing soccer is fun for the kid. It's a team building thing. But the benefits of soccer, you know, kind of stay with soccer. Whereas martial arts, they're learning focus, discipline, respect, all these other elements that they take through life. And the thing, you know, we're not going to get into, I know, what's your problem later on, but a big problem for us to try to relate to parents, because some parents still believe that, oh, martial arts, you're just going to teach my kid how to fight. Well, fighting's part of it, but you learn to fight so you don't have to fight.
Right.
You know, it's about, you know, knowing that what you can do so you never have to do it. And but all these other attributes involved in martial arts is what's important. And I remember one guy was saying that someone asked him, you know, how much do your karate lessons cost? And he says, oh, my karate's free.
Yeah.
But you're paying for discipline, respect, focus, you know, confidence and self-discipline. That's what you're getting from the classes. The karate is just a byproduct of all these other life lessons they're learning.
And interesting you say that. Now that you mention that and bring light to it, the discipline comes in the fact of, like, yes, it's continuous training and knowing what to do in case you need it.
Right.
there's a good chance you may never need it.
Right.
But at least there's a discipline in knowing that you got to keep up with it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's where it kind of comes in.
Absolutely.
But with that being said,
what's your problem?
Brian, what's your problem?
Man, you know, I'm a martial artist first. I'm a, you know, firefighter, paramedic for a long time. You know, so entrepreneur business stuff is not my thing.
Really?
And yeah, like
How long have you been doing it?
So I opened my first school in 2008.
And, well, you've been doing it a while, though. I mean,
been doing it a while, and I've sucked at it ever since. On the business side of it,
What do you mean suck at it?
You know, just far as like, you know, trying to make the business profitable. You know, take care of all the behind the scenes stuff, everything that goes with what a CEO, a CFO, a, you know, all these other upper level management people, what they would do. I've always been the bottom guy doing, you tell me what to do, I'll do that work.
Right.
And so teaching, writing up curriculum, I love that stuff.
Right.
The business side of it, not so much so. And so that's probably my biggest problem. The sales side of it as well is, my wife always tells me that, you know, I don't sell myself. Like, people say they want to come and try the class, and I just kind of, you know, here's the price, here it is, but I'm not trying to sell the benefits of the class. I'm not a very good salesperson.
Closer, you mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, to me, my thought process and in the industry is not correct, because I know what this training will do for them.
Yeah.
I'm not relaying that well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so my closing rate, as far as convincing people, hey, this is going to benefit your life like none other, is not very good.
Well, I think in the sense, then, based on my experience, you guys have actually done a very good job of follow-up. And you put out offers, I'm like, I got to take advantage of that. But it always just slips my mind.
Right.
It comes down to the decision to be made, because it is a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get over there. You got certain times of the day. And have the discipline to do it and all that comes along with it. For me, it's okay. I think the sell you need to convey is, look, I can't do this for you.
Right.
Okay. You need to make that decision. I'm not going to try and close you. It's not going to be a high pressure sales pitch or anything like that, but just out of curiosity, what's the one thing holding you back?
Right.
And that's a good trial closing question. Not even trial closing, but it's a closing question, because
right.
you just want to find the one thing that's preventing them from moving forward. Okay. If we can find a solution to that one thing, then great. Let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just, you know, okay, do we need to give you a month for free? Try it out for a month. You know, you do a couple of classes anyway where they can check it out.
Yeah.
I honestly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I told my wife about it, and she's like, how much a month? I said, yeah, it's this much a month, but you know, we can swing that. My problem is, I guess, got to have the follow through and do it, you know, and I know what I need.
Yeah.
It comes with the decision. And right now I'm spinning so many plates that it's just one more thing to spin.
Yeah.
Which is a lame excuse. And I know it is, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just finding that, you know, what's the, for each person, it's going to be different.
Right.
You know, what's the one thing holding you back?
Yeah. You know, I've rehearsed that line exactly when it comes down to face to face. Like, I'm just like,
it doesn't feel comfortable.
No
So, you know, and that's a lot of where the car business training kind of came into me for us. If I didn't sell a car, we didn't eat. So I mean, I had to kind of not apply pressure, but apply it strategically. And this is where a lot of my philosophy of be them centric hashtag be them centric is it's more if you money changes hands when problems are solved.
Right.
Okay. So if all of a sudden they're not aware of a problem that they may have, okay, they're coming to you for a reason. What's the reason? You know, what did you enjoy about it today?
Right.
What did you get out of it? What are some of the things that it may solve in your life?
Right.
Ask the questions. You drive the conversation when you ask the questions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is any of this kind of stuff kind of new to you, or is it?
No,
is
it's the same stuff, you know, because when you look at, most people come to us because they want fitness.
Right.
And then self-defense is like the second thing.
The byproduct.
Yeah, for adults.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so if you go to a gym, local gym, you're just going to spend $20-$30 a month, but you have nobody there to guide you.
Right.
I have a personal trainer, and so, you know, that's $45 for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So I do that three times a week or twice a week. That's way more than what I charge for a month of unlimited training. And so, you know, now you're paying for 1 hour a day to come by, maybe twice a week, three times is preferred. And so 3 hours a week to get these benefits. And so for me to relay that to somebody, that's where my,
you know.
And so hopefully when we do the free trials, they come and they experience the class, they kind of see like, it's not a very intimidating environment.
No.
It's very chill, very relaxed. You know, in the past I have trained law enforcement, and so those classes are more intense.
Yeah.
But this is adults who are, they've been yelled at by their boss all day. They've been yelled at by their spouse all day. They don't want to come to class and be yelled at. And, you know, so try to make it chill, release some stress, get a little of sweat, and then you know, leave feeling better than you came in.
Well, I do notice that you do have a presence on social media, you know, a moderate one. You see, I see you pop up here and there with on Facebook and things like that, especially on the Spring Hill pages where I think you want to be. The other aspect of it is in the sales business, and no matter what you're selling, it's always you're selling yourself first,
right?
And in the car business, it was you're selling yourself first, then you're selling the car, then you're selling the dealership. That's the process, you know. Right. People buy from people they know, like, and trust, okay?
Yeah.
Liking and trusting you can come across in social media. Knowing you comes across when you actually come through the door and get to know you better. And they see you day to day doing this kind of thing.
Right.
You know, coming on podcasts like this where they get to know you better.
Yeah.
Do all that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Yep.
You've got an expertise. You've got an influence in knowing what you're doing with Krav Maga. And it's one of those things to me, my perception is that it's mysterious enough that I want to know more about it.
Right.
But it's uncomfortable for me because I've never been in that environment.
Right.
I've gone to gyms before. You get used to the whole gym mindset, but that there's a lot of self-motivation that has to come into play for that.
Right.
If all of a sudden they know that, hey, I got to be there at 5 because Brian's going to be disappointed if I'm not there.
Yeah.
There's a whole other, you know, kind of, there's something to that.
Yeah, send some texts out more like, I'm so sad he didn't make it.
Yeah.
And literally I am, like, when I see people making progress and I see them starting to kind of fade away a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of take offense. Like, man, did I mess up? Did I, you know?
You take it personally?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And because to me, when people come through the door, it's not, I don't see a dollar sign like some businesses would.
Yeah.
I mean, we really build relationships. And so I really try to get to know everyone's name, get to know about their family. So we started a new thing where every month now we're going to do a new, or every other month, a new member party. So where they come train for a class and then we provide lunch.
Yeah.
And it's just a way to kind of fellowship outside of class, get to know them. Because, you know, I always say that, you know, we're trying to build trust first, because I'm going to teach you how to punch and kick somebody. But to do that, you're going to have to punch and kick somebody.
Right.
And so we have to develop trust that, number one, is nothing's personal. No one's trying to hurt you. It's sometimes accidents happen. You might get, you know, someone might get, you know, a little bit hit too hard, whatever. And so we have to have this trust, this family environment. And so I definitely want to do that, because relationship is the most important thing.
That's the new currency.
It's.
But you've been doing the 360 Krav Maga for how long?
So I took the name. So 360 Krav Maga is a, it's not a chain, but it started in Long Beach, California. So one of my mentors, Alan Predelin, is the founder of 360 Krav Maga. He's a longtime Krav Maga instructor. He's living in Italy right now, moved back for COVID, but he was an Italian airborne, moved to the U.S., was U.S. airborne, lived in Israel for a long time, lived with Eyal. And so he's a good friend of mine, my mentor. And so I like the name, I like the logo. And so I said, hey, can I use it? And he goes, absolutely.
So it's a franchise, but not.
It's not a franchise, yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, he wants to build the 360 name, and then we call it the 360 method, just how we teach certain things. It's not like traditional Krav Maga. It's a little more MMA style, but it's a little more technical and
involves a lot of other type styles.
Yes,
I got you. So when you have somebody coming in and you're building this business with the 360 moniker, how long have you been doing that here in town?
So we've been open now for a little over 2 years.
Oh man, you're just brand new.
Yeah, we're babies. Yeah, we're starting to walk.
I would say, I mean, so some of the things that you want to fix, you want to have more breadth of students coming to you, correct?
Right.
What's the number you need to hit before you got to make some changes and you're outgrowing your space and all that stuff?
Yeah, so prior to COVID, we were doing pretty good. We had about 150 members.
Okay.
And after COVID hit, we dropped down to about 60.
Okay.
So now we're back up to about just under 100. And
right.
So 150 is kind of like our goal to kind of be able to...
You're rocking and rolling.
To pay bills, yeah. to pay off some debt. I'm not taking a salary. And when COVID hit, I went back to the fire service. And
right.
So my lifestyle is being supplemented by the fire department. So
right.
I'm paying somebody to help manage like all our leads that come in. And so I'm not paying it myself. I'm just paying off bills.
Well, what's your closing rate? When you have somebody, how many brand new people are you getting a week or a month?
Yeah, so we average about 30 to 40 new leads a month.
Okay, so how many are you converting?
That's pretty good. So last month we had a really good month.
Yeah.
January, for whatever reason, we actually converted 31.
Okay.
So we had 31. And that's super high. We average about 10.
10.
10 to 12.
So about a 20% conversion, right?
So our target number is 17. We need to try to get 17 new members to try to get to 150 to offset the attrition as well.
Right.
And so
what's the attrition rate typically?
So right now I think we're looking at about 20%.
20% attrition.
Yeah, so that needs to drop.
What's the biggest reason for that?
Either life, with COVID, they lost their job.
Right.
Which we have a thing where if you lose your job because of COVID, or when GM went on strike, we had quite a few GM employees. Like, guys, just keep training. Don't stop training, because now you need this more than ever just to keep your sanity. So
right.
when you get your job back, then we'll start your payments again. So, again, it's not about the money. It's about the relationship, because
right.
I know that if I can keep them, you know, training, then eventually they'll come back and they'll stay with it. And we
right.
won't. And so, but a lot of people just felt bad about that. I can't have nothing or something for nothing.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, people, and I get it, because I'm the same way.
It's going to happen.
Same thing, right?
So, yeah. So moving forward with the strategy of, you know, at least it may seem comfortable to ask that question. What's the one thing holding you back?
Right.
But, you know, once you kind of get used to it, you find, okay, I know I got to do this.
Right.
You know, some of the most uncomfortable things that I learned in the car business were the word tracks.
Right.
Getting comfortable saying those, because I believe that once you get uncomfortable, you grow.
Right.
A lobster doesn't get bigger by staying in its shell. It has to crack the shell and then grow a new one. When you start getting comfortable saying that word track, you find your own way to say it. You know, when I train people for voiceover, I throw random styles at them and little wonky sentences. And
yeah.
I say, you need to figure out, you know what the writer is trying to convey. You know the producer needs to hear it that way verbatim.
Right.
But it's okay for you to say it. Okay, here's how I would say that sentiment.
Gotcha.
Okay. With saying, hey, just out of curiosity, just so we have, you know, some sort of basis of information, what's the one thing that's holding you back from moving forward? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's a little salesy, it's a little pitchy, but at the same time, you're at least uncovering research for yourself.
Right.
You're going to see a commonality, some common threads as to why people don't move forward. There are going to be some things you can overcome, some things you can. But I mean, for me, when I was selling cars, you had to make money. You know,
right.
I had to make a paycheck. So if it was something like, well, payment, well, what about the payment? Well, it's just $15 too high. Oh, okay. Well, now that I know that, if we were to find a way to kind of make it more palatable for you,
right.
is that a reason to buy right now? Well, yeah. Okay. Game on.
Yeah.
Sometimes just asking
right.
helps everything.
Right.
Because I'm just trying. I know. I believe enough in my product, me speaking as Brian, that I know it can help you, that if you really enjoyed this, what was the one thing you really enjoyed about it? Sometimes even asking, what's the one thing you didn't enjoy about
right.
it?
Right.
That's
a
great question.
You got another job?
Yeah, I need more plates to spin, right? But I mean, but even this having this podcast, just
right.
asking these questions,
yeah.
to me, it's just natural curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's done, anybody who's asking the questions drives a conversation,
yeah.
always. So when you get in front of them, just try it, you know? I don't think you'd come off as pushy.
Yeah.
I mean, try not to. You didn't, in my opinion, but I have a sales background, I don't think you came off pushy enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, okay, let's dance and, you know, a little bit before we get drinks. I mean, but at least dance.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, something to consider.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's my biggest thing is that, you know, if you want to do it, we want you to have, we
of course.
Want you to be here. But if you don't want to do it, I don't want to force. And so,
right.
you know, I need to switch that, because sometimes, even like as a kid, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what you need.
Right.
And knowing what it's done for me, what it's done for other people, and I see people coming in, I can tell the way they walk, how they're talking, you need this.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to find excuses not to do it.
Yeah.
And so I do need to be more pushy a little bit, but
I don't think it's pushy.
Without being pushy, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of what it sounds like goes back to, I don't want to be confrontational.
Yeah.
I was bullied when I was a kid, but things didn't change until I spoke up and signaled something different. Right. So maybe this kind of ties it. We're coming full circle now. Maybe this is a something where you just kind of look at it each situation, it's just asking questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if this doesn't make sense right now, that's okay. You know, I want to keep on coming by. You've got two more free classes or whatever. I certainly want you to come. Is that something we can count on?
Yeah,
yeah, great. You know, and if after that it doesn't work, it doesn't work. No harm, no foul.
Yeah,
we can eventually. But I also like getting the text. I think it's from your wife, Dina.
Deanna.
She gets Deanna.
Yeah, yeah.
And she I'm so bad with names. I knew it was Dina. It's just the spelling, yeah, Deanna.
Right.
I get the texts every now and then. Hey, first 3 months is only that. I'm like, right. Yeah, I should do that, but man, I got to fit that into my life. That's my excuse.
Right.
It's not you.
Right, right.
I had fun. I really did have a good time.
So what would it take to get you in?
It's me. I got to make the decision to do it. That's really what it is, you know? And, it's not a, right. a numbers thing or a money thing. It's just, I just got to fit this into my life.
Right, right. You know? It's a challenge. And, you know, as adults, I mean, I've noticed that adult parents will spend money galore and do everything for their kids.
Yeah. Nothing for
themselves. They won't do for themselves.
But that's how we're built.
And we need to have that for ourselves, because my kids are all grown now, but man, when they were younger, like, I need that outlet. Like, am I going to kill my kids or kill a bag?
Right. You know?
What's it going to be?
My wife, you know, in all fairness, she doesn't like me being out. You know, me having an office was a big shift because I was working from home for the past 4 years. And at some point, we built the office, and I was like, I need to get out of the house with what I'm doing. Especially with COVID, now we've got the kids at home and learning.
Right.
For a while, we had my son who was playing video games right outside my bedroom where I was trying to work.
Right.
It was completely distracting. I could hardly get anything done. And I also found that I thrive in a team environment. I like having people around.
Right.
But I get so much more done by the time one of the handoffs was, okay, when you get home from work, I don't want you to have to keep on working, which is what I was doing.
Yep.
I would have to go voice some messaging on hold stuff that I do every day, and then go and edit it, which would take another hour and a half out of my day.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
My wife's like, dude, you're not around.
Same problem.
Yeah.
Same problem.
The same thing that, you know, that's one of the bigger reasons. Well, okay, now once a week, I'm going to be going to this place at a certain time, and then I'll be home, you know, and then fitting in everything I have to get into a day before I go. That's my reason.
Yeah.
It's lame. I know.
No.
It's a lame excuse, Brian. I know.
I'll bring her with. You guys can do it together.
I would love that. That's the other aspect. She'd be like, she's a homebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there people there? Yeah. I don't want to go. That's Courtney.
Right.
You know, and that's, she knows that.
Yeah.
She's completely aware. So with that being said, how do people get a hold of you and follow you and all that good stuff? I would also, you know, ramp up your activity on social media for sure.
Yeah. So we're on Facebook. Spring Hill Krav Maga is our, I think that's our
the handle
name.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But that's KRAVMAGA.
Yeah.
The website is springhillkravmaga.com.
Right.
And we are right next to the Spring Hill Post Office and the Dawson McAllister Building in the rear lower level.
That's right. No, so I remember going there, and for some reason I just couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably problematic with my memory.
Yeah, so right off of Town Center Parkway and Beechcroft.
Yes, that's right. Well, very good, man. If you're interested in taking the classes, you have any specials going on at the moment? Or
yeah, so we just did a seminar for adults Saturday, and so we're extending. It's a 6 weeks for $69. Kind of really a experience the full program in 6 weeks. That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, our normal rate that's about half, a little more than half of what we normally charge.
That's per month. That's 6 weeks for $69. Yeah. Then the regular rate would kick in.
Yeah.
And they got to have the equipment. They got to have the gloves and things of that nature.
We have stuff they can borrow, but if they want to get it, then that's ideal. And, and come have some fun, man. It's a ton of fun. My wife, I met her at a seminar I did, and she never knew how much she enjoyed hitting things until she met me.
My wife's a massage therapist. That's what would stop her as well. Yeah, she doesn't want to damage her hands.
Yeah.
You know,
we've had concert pianists, same thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Yes.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming out here and trying us out and seeing the Big Dot HQ. It's great to sit down and get to know you.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked you as soon as I met you that time. Well. So, I mean, that's no question about that. And I think anybody that's listening to this would want to try it out. Yeah, you're going to go there, and I think you're just a likable dude. Just be a little more assertive.
Yeah.
Just ask those questions.
See, I'm assertive on the mat. But when
you are totally
to sales,
assertive. Yeah.
Like, I different personality. Like.
And you know what? Come to think of it, that may actually play into it as well. I mean, you have a way of getting out. It's cathartic. It's therapeutic for you where you got to be nothing but relaxed other times because you just, I got nothing to be pissed about.
Right.
I get it all out.
Right.
You know? So maybe that's, you know, I would just be more mindful.
Just
ask the question.
Right.
What's the one thing? What's the one thing holding you back? Just out of curiosity, just so I can take notes from my research and market research and stuff.
Oh, like that. There you go. Yeah. Science.
Totally.
Science.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming by.
Yes,
I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.